morning. We will call the meeting of the Eastern Municipal Water District Board of Directors to order for September 1st, 2021. We'll begin with our Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Melendez, would you like to lead us this morning in that?
Sure. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With that, could I get the Board Secretary to call the roll?
Director Corona?
Here.
Director Slauson?
Here.
Director Armstrong?
Here.
Director Record?
Here.
And Legal Counsel, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Very good. That. April, do we have anybody wishing to do public comment this morning?
Not that I'm aware of.
Very good. With that, we will go to our general manager's report, Mr. Mawad.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. My report is included in your packet. Under new and ongoing items, as the board is aware, last Thursday, LAFCO held a community meeting in the City of Murrieta Council Chambers to present the Municipal Services Review findings and solicit community feedbacks. President Pauley, Director Corona, and Director Armstrong, as well as staff, attended the event. President Pauley delivered the MWD's remarks regarding the MSR process and our approach in addressing the community's needs. Several members of the public, as well as representatives from the City, Western Municipal Water District, Rancho California Water District, also provided comments. LAFCO plans to present the findings of the MSR to the LAFCO Commission on September 23rd. We will go ahead and continue to coordinate with all the stakeholders on the MSR process and update the board accordingly. Also wanted to provide an update to the board on a number of ongoing coordination activities with Metropolitan Water District. Last week, we held a meeting with Metropolitan staff to discuss our proposed EM11 water transmission project, including our request to Metropolitan for transfer of easements and decommissioned pipelines in support of our plans to secure additional water supplies from the Skinner water filtration plant. Metropolitan staff agreed to advance an expedited process to confirm Metropolitan's ability to transfer subject easements and decommissioned facilities to Eastern. Also, on August 25th, we participated in Metropolitan's rate refinement workshop number 12, to discuss available methodologies to fund demand management. Through the discussion, there appears to be consensus that given the current drought conditions and the potential for Metropolitan to expand demand management programs, it is in the member agency's interest to agree on a mechanism that provides a revenue stream that allows Metropolitan and its member agencies to continue to implement demand management and conservation programs. Metropolitan staff indicated that an information item to the Metropolitan Board will be scheduled for this month with tentative plans to advance an action item to the Metropolitan Board in October. Accordingly, we will provide a comprehensive update to our board on the Metropolitan rate refinement process at the next board meeting on September 15th. Lastly, under Metropolitan coordination items, on August 20th, I had the opportunity to meet with Metropolitan's general manager to discuss projects and initiative of mutual interest, including the current drought and water supply conditions, Metropolitan's rate refinement process, and joint projects between Eastern and Metropolitan. It was agreed that we would schedule a detailed briefing in the next few weeks to provide Metropolitan's general manager and his senior executive staff with information on various initiatives, including the Diamond Valley Lake Marina Utilities Project, construction completion of the Paris Valley Pipeline, the EM11 transmission project that I spoke of earlier, SARCA program, and the proposed UC Riverside region-wide affordability study. We will update the board on our coordination efforts with Metropolitan accordingly after we have that meeting. Under items of interest to the board, I'm pleased to share with you that last week we achieved a significant milestone in our water banking program, and we had startup of the Mountain Avenue replenishment basins in San Jacinto. Water was introduced to the basins as testing of the recharge facilities commenced. The project has achieved substantial construction completion with grant funding support in the amount of $12.9 million as part of the SARCA program. Work continues on the landscaping and the improvements along the perimeter walking path that we plan to dedicate to the city of San Jacinto. We are in the process of coordinating a date to hold a dedication ceremony for the facility, and once that is confirmed, we will update the board accordingly. Finally, under administrative items, as you are aware, there has been surges of COVID-19 cases throughout the county and the state. To reduce the spread and number of positive cases, the CDC recommended that masks be worn regardless of vaccination status. Last week, Kalosha published the recommendation to have businesses follow the CDC guidance and require that face coverings be worn indoors. It should be noted that neither the county or Kalosha are mandating businesses require the use of face coverings. However, out of an abundance of caution and to protect EMWD staff, their families, and the communities we serve, we've updated our guidance effective as of this Monday, whereby we are requiring all employees to wear face coverings while indoors, regardless of vaccination status. I should note that our protocols for the boardroom remain unchanged, whereby all visitors and employees are required to wear face coverings upon entering the boardroom, but may remove them while seated, as long as a minimum of at least 6 feet separation is maintained. That concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
I have none. All right, thank you very much. Laura, do you have anything for us this morning?
Nothing today.
Lanaya?
Good morning, President Pauley and members of the board. Our window for tank maintenance is quickly approaching. I can't believe it's October is a month away. Thus, the engineering group has been actively pursuing bids for our tank replacements and over the past, or recoding project, sorry. So over the past week, we have received five bids for tank recoding projects. Those bids were received from a list of 11 pre-selected contractors. We are currently reviewing those bids and will be bringing recommendations for award to our next this month's O&E meeting and then for board approval on the October 6th meeting.
Very good. Thank you so much. That will now take us to our consent calendar. I understand we have two members of the board that need to abstain on item 3E. Is that correct?
Yes.
Any other abstentions on the consent calendar?
I would move the balance of the consent calendar.
Okay. All but item 3E has been moved by Director Corona. Do I have a second? Director Slauson will second that. I will ask for a roll call bid, please. A roll call, please.
Director Pauley?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And it passes on a vote of 5-0.
I have a conflict on item E because my family does business with Krieger and Stewart.
Director Slauson, did you want to state your conflict before you leave the dais?
Sure. There's a property owner I do work for that will ultimately, likely, if it gets developed, be served by the sewer that's being considered here.
Very good. So I will note for the record that Directors Corona and Director Slauson have left the dais. I will then go ahead and move item 3E. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Director Armstrong, may I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauley?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Becker?
Aye.
So that passes 3-0 with Directors Corona and Director Slauson absent from the vote. With that, we will go to our action calendar this morning. We will go to item A, which is to authorize the general manager to participate and support the Inland Empire Water Wastewater Apprenticeship Pathways Collaboration Program.
Thank you, President Pauley. As we continue our ongoing efforts to promote careers in the water and wastewater industry, we are recommending that we participate in and support the Inland Empire Water Wastewater Apprenticeship Pathway Collaborative, also known as IEWorks. IEWorks' goal is to increase the number of qualified candidates in both Riverside and San Bernardino counties to fill future water and wastewater job vacancies. As part of a participating agency in IEWorks, we will offer tours and other experience in the water and wastewater industry to student interns and apprentices, as well as support in-class learning by providing subject matter experts to speak to students about the water and wastewater industry. We will use our communications platform to promote the program, contribute staff presenters and content in regional planning sessions, and offer our facilities for hosting IE Work events. In addition, we will continue to promote programs that enhance inclusion and equal opportunity in the workforce at EMWD. So with that, we are recommending that we support and participate in the IE Works program as part of our efforts, again, to promote pathways, career pathways to, in the water and wastewater industry. I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Any questions on this item? No, I'll look. I will actually make the motion on this. I brought this to the attention of the district after talking to some other directors from various agencies that have success with this program. I always want to make sure that we are trying to explain the water industry to a whole wide group of young folks out there. I know we do a great job with our youth ecology program, but I think this will complement it. So I will make the motion to have passed this. Sorry. Second by Director Crona. Would you please call the roll?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Crona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And it passes 5-0. Thank you very much. We'll go on to item B, which is to approve the implementation of video webcasting of board meetings and authorize a service contract with Western Audiovisual in the amount of $4,000 for programming services. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. Just by way of background, on April 1 in the admin committee meeting, President Pauly requested that we evaluate some options and also the costs associated with implementing webcasting for the public of our board meetings. On July 21, we presented a report to the board on the various options as we saw them available for webcasting district board meetings. The board reviewed those options and then referred the item to executive committee where we could have further discussion and evaluation of the proposed options. On August 19, the executive committee reviewed those options and requested that staff bring their recommendation to the September 1 board meeting. Option 1, as we presented,
is that part of the new program or
was on?
We have some background noise. If
you could mute the phones if you're on, appreciate it. Thank you, Mike. Continue.
Thank you very much. Option one, as we presented it, was online public meetings, which essentially changed none of the technology, but public would be invited to view the Teams meeting online as it was being presented. And then that meeting, audio and video, could be recorded and published on our website, as we do today with just our audio feed. Option two was online public meetings with video. So that would include all options or all items included in option one, plus camera views, similar to a webcam, of both the board dais and the presenter's lectern. Option three was full production streaming, you know, similar to live sporting events and things. So the sky's the limit as far as how we wanted to set that up, and that would also require additional support during the meetings for a video producer. So the executive committee recommendation is to go with option two, online public meeting with video. The main benefits are that it's a relatively low cost to implement, and we can also have it completed in just a number of months. The public would continue to dial in for public comment, so they'd be using the phone feed for that. But the public could join the Microsoft team meeting and view live presentations as well as a feed of the dais and the lectern as an individual is presenting. So with that, let me go back to the previous slide. We'd like the board to consider this recommendation for approval.
Mike, did you want to go through the other elements of this option?
Well, I was going to have the vote occur first, and if they voted affirmative, then we would go through those options for review. It's up to...
Well, I think it would be helpful to the board.
Why don't we share the options for the board just so we have a better idea of what we are voting on?
Okay. If this item is approved per this recommendation, there are some additional considerations that we need to review. One is during staff oral presentations, whether or not we would display the dais or the lectern feed. So here are the two options viewed here. The recommendation is to show a lectern view so you can see the face of the presenter at the lectern. And then the second one is during public comment. There's two options. One is we could display a splash page that shows the EMWD logo and public comment, or alternatively, we could display the board agenda.
So Mike, I just wanted to clarify, if you can go back a couple of slides. During presentations, what would be webcast in terms of video, one more slide back if possible, is the actual presentation with the dais in the smaller box that you see there. So that's what the audience would see, is the actual PowerPoint presentations, correct?
If a PowerPoint was being displayed, yes. If a PowerPoint was not part of the oral presentation, like the GM's report,
right,
then it would just be a shot of the lectern.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
I think you go to the recommendation page.
So the recommendation is to approve implementation of video webcasting of the board meetings, option two, and authorize contract with Western Audio Video in amount of $4,000 to complete the necessary programming changes.
I don't have any questions, and I support the recommendation. I would add, with regards to what's shown during the public comment, my experience in Moreno Valley is that there are a number of individuals who always show up just so they could be on, you know, broadcast. They could be on television. People recognize them. I would hate for us to get into that position where people were just wanting to do that. So I think to show the agenda item would be more appropriate.
We had a healthy discussion of this in the executive committee, and Director Record, please chime in if you wish to. But we concurred. I mean, I don't want to get into too much of the details. I actually would prefer the agenda item myself, but it is not to... I always want to encourage public participation in our board meetings, but again, as you said, there are certain individuals that simply want to get themselves a cast, and I don't mind hearing from them, but I don't think we need to provide a television studio for them. So
Director Slauson, so what we opted as a suggestion was the top view, where it would just say that we're having public comment, whether they're here in person or on the phone, they won't be seen. This will be splashed on the front.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
Director Record, any comments on this?
No, I agree with what you said, President Polly.
Very good.
Give me a second. Did you make one?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second. Motion by Director Slauson, seconded by Director Corona. Make it a roll call vote, please.
Director Polly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Mike, thank you for your hard work on this, and I look forward to having this at a meeting in the near future.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
We will now move on to item C, which is to approve and ratify contract with T.E. Roberts Incorporated for $348,000 for the Palma Truck Sewer Emergency Repair and Associated Cost in amount not to exceed $374,000. Mr. Melendez, good morning.
Paula.
Morning.
I'm sorry.
Good morning, President Polly and members of the board. We were referring to this item in updates to you as the Pechanga Parkway work, but the formal name is the Paula Trunk Sewer Emergency Repair. So on the map here, you can see where the project occurred on Pechanga Parkway. About a half a mile south of Temecula Parkway, it was a pretty busy street. The repair was actually in a left turn pocket onto one of the local side streets. This is a view of the record drawing from when the sewer was built. In this area, there's several Metropolitan Water District pipelines passing through, and this job occurred right next to a 70-inch line that serves the county of San Diego. So to get past the Met line when the sewer was built, it was constructed with jack and bore methods. So this very large jacking pit you can see is that big box on the drawing. was excavated where they, you know, lowered the equipment to bore the hole and then jack a steel pipe underneath Met's pipeline. So the star there is right at the edge of the jacking pit, right where the steel casing begins. That's where the sewer had broken and experienced a substantial offset in the pipeline. Now, these are some pictures from our inspections. The top left there is a normal inspection where we move downstream with the flow of the wastewater. The pipeline was online at the time, and we found this view. The offset was so severe, the camera operator didn't want to move any farther as he believed we wouldn't be able to retrieve the camera. So in order to make sure the rest of the pipeline through the remainder of the jacking pit was in good shape, we scheduled a follow-up inspection in the early morning hours where we took the sewer offline, put a plug in it, and then drove in reverse up the sewer. That's how we got the picture on the right, so that's looking at it from the other direction. Luckily, the rest of the sewer was in good shape, and this was the only damage we found. We did see from this view, though, that there was some groundwater running into the pipeline on the bottom there. It wasn't as much as it looks here. The camera was actually driving at the pipe when I took the screenshot, so it was kind of pushing the water, creating some backwater. But and then the bottom photo was the view of the top of the pipe once we got the trench excavated. You can see that one piece that was raised and the rest of the pipe sink below it. So we mobilized on June 21st, and the first thing that was done was to install the bypass system. We were fairly conservative with the bypass. We had done some sewer flows, but around this time, Pechanga was going to reopen the second tower of the hotel, and we didn't want to be caught short of pumping capacity when they filled the rest of the hotel. So there were actually four bypass pumps here. As we excavated and got down to about the spring line of the pipe, we were expecting some incidental groundwater, as I mentioned, but the volume was actually much larger than we had planned for. It's hard to kind of see in this photograph, but you can see the water actually boiling. You can see the bubbles and the ripples of the water. So the volume was quite large. We had to call in Griffin Dewatering to drill four boreholes and put in groundwater dewatering pumps. So that was an added cost and a delay in the schedule. These are just some shots of the overall work site. The sewer is just over 20 feet deep. We had special shoring for that. The picture in the middle was standing right about at the discharge of the bypass pump, looking north towards the rest of the job. We had the number one lane closed on both sides of the street. And this is the view afterwards. The sewer was actually repaired on July 9th. On that day, we were able to shut down the bypass and start backfilling the jacking pit. We believe that the damage really was caused by the compaction of that large excavation in the jacking pit. We had done a boring that showed the compaction wasn't up to spec. So it's believed that the settlement caused the pipe to break, and then once water was allowed to infiltrate, some of the soil and fines could migrate into the pipe. So the whole pit and excavation was backfilled with good high-quality aggregate base to prevent this from occurring again. So that all finished on July 9th. Then the backfill began, pavement repairs. We had taken out the concrete median in the center there, had to be replaced, and then we needed to replace the striping in the street. So all those other ancillary things were completed by July 20th. And the photo on the right is the section we repaired. You can see the face of the concrete mortar that had been filled into the jacking pipe. So the total project cost came out to $374,980. Most of that was to the contractor. They hired the dewatering contractor directly, some monies for inspection on soils, construction, and video of the sewer, and a small amount of labor since we did hire the contractor for it. Oops. And so the recommendation is to ratify the contract with T.E. Roberts for $348,743. and approve the overall project costs in the amount not to exceed $374,980.
Questions for Matt?
So the pipe was like this and not like this?
Right. Yeah, the offset was vertical, almost, you know, directly straight down.
Okay. I was wondering, back in the 80s, there was some seismic activity in that area and some homes in the Rainbow Canyon development got damaged. And that's why I'm asking the question.
Oh, interesting.
Unidentified fault line was in there. Rancho Water got sued, and developers got sued. Everybody got sued. So that's why I was asking.
Interesting.
Sounds like this is not associated with that.
Yeah, just because it went straight down, it really looked like, settlement over time or during construction when they were trying to compact that soil. But I'll keep that in mind in case we find something else later.
No, don't even think about it. It's expensive enough.
Knock on this thing here.
I'll move the item.
I have one question. Who performed the inspection?
It was Golden State Consultants, Tim Manning. He was great. He stays on top of it.
We retained him.
Yes. Yeah, he was our inspector, right?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he does a great job for us.
Okay, you moved it?
I moved it, yeah.
I'll second it.
All right. Moved by Director Corona, second by Director Slauson. Could you please call the roll?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Beckard?
Aye.
Very good.
Thank you.
Passes 5-0. We will go on to item D, which is to approve and authorize award a contract to Suet Construction, LLC for $2.8 million under specification number 1430S, rebid for the Temecula Valley Water Reclamation Stormwater Assessment and Improvement Project, an additional appropriation of $3.8 million.
Good morning,
Mr. Stone.
Good morning, members of the board. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the introduction, President Pauly. The project here today, we outline a little bit of an agenda for the Award of Construction for the Stormwater Improvements at Temecula Valley, talk a little bit about the background of the project, some of the work we did all the way through leading us to ultimately a final design for the mitigations at the plant, an award of some construction support services, discuss our schedule, and ultimately our recommendations. So background, apparently, really the last time we got rain, around February of 2019, it was a significant event at the plant. We had an intense storm that caused a lot of water to flow into the plant, and as you can see here from the photo, we had quite the backup near the electrical building. One thing I would like to, so this is the top of a fire hydrant to give you the idea of how much water we actually had backed up into the plant. So from that event, we reached out to Jacobs Engineering to perform a hydrological assessment of the area to determine where our flows are coming from. Essentially, what they were able to determine is the denuded hillside above the plant is where we're getting excessive runoff that's bringing water down onto the plant site in quantities greater than had been anticipated with the stormwater system designed within the plant. So from that initial assessment in June of 1999, we approved and authorized Jacobs to develop some preliminary mitigation methods to carry us through the final design phase of the project in order to put permanent solutions in place. One of those mitigations was the hardening of a channel that travels around the perimeter of the plant so that we can direct stormwater around to the discharge point heading towards Diaz and ultimately Murrieta Creek. In April of 2020, we approved Jacobs to perform the final design of the improvements of the flow control measures. So in those, April of this year, Jacobs completed those. A lot of those revolved around best management practices to protect the plant from erosion, a hardening of that earthen channel, a spill control pond to give us some more ability to hold water on site if necessary, and then ultimately an optional desilting basin to be constructed at a later date as we continue to monitor the effectiveness of the plan. In June of 2021, we actually combined a separate project within the stormwater improvements, and this was the rehab of our backwash basins. The rehab of the backwash basins involves excavating the old soil and then restoring the bottom. We believed it would be a good combination because the stormwater program is actually going to create soil. So we are going to use that soil created to replace the soil on the ponds, reducing the overall export of soil on the site. So summary of bids. We initially advertised the primary project, the stormwater improvements, on May 3rd of 2021. We received one bid in June of 2021, which was over the engineer's estimate. At that time, staff decided that we would hold back to re-advertise the project. Using that opportunity, we added the backwash project on July 6th. Subsequently, the bids came in on August 2nd. We received three. Suka Construction was our lowest responsive bidder with a bid of approximately $2.8 million. Still slightly over the engineer's estimate. As the board's aware, there's quite the dynamic going on in the supply market, and labor and costs are sporadic, variable for us here of late. As I mentioned before, Jacobs has been our engineer through the preliminary and final design. We'd like to continue there with their assistance through the construction phase in order to, you know, provide field engineering support, submittal review of some of the products that we're going to be using to harden the facilities, and also prepare the final record drawings. In addition, because of the amount of geotechnical work we have on the site, we'd like to continue services with Inland Foundation. They will be doing soil compaction testing within the backwash basins, as well as materials testing for the hardening of the outside exterior channel. Our schedule, final design is complete. If should the board elect to award the project this month, we would issue a notice to proceed immediately with a substantial completion prior to the 2022 rain season. So our recommendation today is to award a contract with Suka Construction in the amount of approximately $2.8 million, a contract with Jacobs Engineering in the amount of approximately $83,000, a contract with Inland Foundation in the amount of approximately $114,000, administrative award of ancillary contracts necessary to complete the project, and finally an additional appropriation of approximately $3.8 million. And that brings me to the end of the presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions the board might have.
Questions?
I got a question. Can you go back to page 2? That went back. That's 4. There we go. So is there's like a canyon that comes down, and is it empty out into the plant?
The canyon,
not the one to the right, the one to the left, the one to the right, where it says Southwest Hillside.
Here,
all right, right there.
Now this one down here.
Yeah.
So there is over time the hill has lost its vegetation, so we're actually seeing higher runoff.
Okay. So then, when it gets to the plant, does it go around the plant, or does it go under the plant?
There are various storm drain facilities through this section of the plant. The channel itself is actually around this side of the plant. So the trap channel that we have exists on the outside area here. This particular flow path is supported by storm drains. You can see there's a 21-inch here and an 18-inch here. So there is some sheet flow that goes through here, and ultimately it would be captured by the storm drain system here. The initial hydrology that was done on the plant, that system is not as adequate as it needs to be. You know, based on historic rainfall, the flow that was seen coming out of the plant, it was designed as appropriate for the time, but as the hills lost its vegetation, we've seen increased flows.
Okay, so then after it leaves the plant, then that's when it goes into that other channel that we've been talking about over the years.
Yeah, this little off-site channel here between our property and Diaz.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's correct, Dr. Corona. Once the stormwater leaves our facility, it does enter into an unmaintained channel. And we have had discussions with the city recently about the need to clear the vegetation within that channel, as well as upsize the culverts that carry the flow from that channel under Diaz into the creek. So we recently had a discussion with a senior team at the city, and we expressed our needs. And I may have shared with the board that Amazon has leased property that straddles that unmaintained channel. So we're having those discussions with the city to see if there's an opportunity to work with Amazon to make those necessary improvements.
Was there any thought to building detention basins upstream in that channel? I don't know.
We would actually be in the hillsides. So in an effort to not, you know, ruin the natural look, we did not, you know, even venture to the outside of the plant property.
was already denuded. So.
I agreed. As part of the project, we are actually going to be hydroseeding the hillside and putting in wattle and whatnot, and hoping to restore the vegetation.
And just to add maybe some context as well, the hillside is not the only source of stormwater. It is one source. There's significant offsite stormwater that enters the plant into that channel that Sean was describing that wraps around the plant. So there's a significant tributary area outside of the facility that contributes stormwater flow that ultimately enters to the side. So the hillside is definitely a contributor, but there's other stormwater as well that enters the facility.
Yeah, there's water that comes in from the west side of Rancho California Road, you know, in the Duluth section up above, too. So, okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I'll look for a motion or a second.
Oh, I'll move it again.
I'm sorry. Moved by Director Corona. Seconded by Director Slauson, correct?
Yes.
Director Record, you had no questions?
No questions.
Good. Let's have a roll call vote on this, please.
Director Polly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Item passes 5-0. We'll go on to item E, which is to approve an authorized contract with No Star Plumbing and Engineering Incorporated for $11 million under specification number 1315W, the Cactus 2 Feeder Phase 1 project, with an additional appropriation of $14 million, almost $15 million. Good morning, Mr. Kowalski.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. President, fellow members of the board. I'm happy to be here to present to you our Cactus 2 Feeder program. By way of background, the project's located in the city of Moreno Valley, and the program is a three-phase program where we'll add new pipelines to correct system deficiencies across east-west Moreno Valley. And this will provide needed water supply to planned development in East Moreno Valley, such as World Logistics Center and other large residential developments coming in the future. By way of program overview, like I said, there are three phases to the program, and those are illustrated here in color. Our phase one project that we're looking to award today is illustrated in blue there on the left. It includes pipeline to convey water east-west, but as well as interconnecting pumping lanes. Similarly, our red pipeline shown there is the Phase 2 pipeline, and we have a number of footage of pipeline as well as a pump lane interconnection there as well. And then the final phase, Phase 3 pipeline, is the yellow pipeline shown that will get us interconnected again at East Moreno Valley. Overall, the programming consists of approximately 6 miles of pipeline, and these Phase 2 and 3 pipeline projects will look to advance sometime in 2025-2030 timeframe. But to focus in on today's award for our Phase 1 pipeline, I'd like to give you an overview of the specifics of this project. We look to start on the east there at Hecock and Cactus Avenue, where we'll facilitate construction of a turnout facility. It's known as Turnout Number 1. And from there, we'll advance a 42-inch diameter pipeline along Cactus Avenue, Indian Street, Alessandro, and then terminate just beyond Paris Boulevard. We'll also interconnect the pumping lane via 36-inch pipeline and run up Paris Boulevard to district-owned property, where we'll terminate at our Turnout 2 facility. That facility will be co-located with our Paris North treatment facility, which will be coming very soon. In addition to that pipeline, we'll also have a parallel distribution pipeline to construct along Paris Boulevard. That is the lighter blue pipeline you can see on the diagram. And we'll also do a brief pressure zone conversion that's shown in light blue. All of this will be coordinated with the Paris North program, as well as our Pettit Zone conversion project, which is currently out to bid. And all projects together will provide a greater level of service for our customers. By way of bid, we advertised the project in early July to pre-qualified bidders. And in early August, we received 9 bids, and 2 of the bids received were deemed non-responsive due to failure of providing appropriate documentation with their bid. And after review of those bids, we determined that North Star Plumbing and Engineering of Alta Loma was the lowest responsive and responsible bidder with a bid of just under $12 million. Relative to the engineer's estimate, this is great value, and The bid results really demonstrate a clear understanding of our documents, and the low four bids were very close in that regard. North Star Plumbing and Engineering has done recent work for us. They completed the McCall Pipeline project, and it was a very successful project. In addition to our contract today, we look to advance engineering services during construction with the engineer of record. They were teamed with Kennedy Jenks, and we'll advance our typical services, including submittal and shop drawing review, requests for information and design clarifications, as well as change order review, and then more specifically, startup and commissioning support when we bring the pipeline online. In addition to the engineer of record, we'll look to have additional support services with Converse Consultants for geotechnical services during construction for field observation and testing, as well as Helix Environmental Planning for the environmental resources monitoring during construction. By way of schedule, upon award today, we look to start this month and then complete in early 2023. And this photograph here below illustrates the starting point of the project at our Hecock Cactus Booster Station and turnout number one. And we'll be heading east down Cactus right there. So today's recommendation is to, one, advance a contract with North Star Plumbing and Engineering for construction of the project in the amount of approximately $12 million. Also advance a contract with Black & Veatch for engineering support services during construction for approximately $400,000. Further advance a contract with Converse Consultants for the necessary geotechnical work during construction for approximately $184,000. In addition, advance a contract with Helix Environmental for the environmental monitoring work for approximately $135,000. We also recommend administrative award of other ancillary contracts to complete this construction work. And then today's recommendation is to add additional appropriation of almost $15 million, taking the total project to date to just over $18.5 million. That concludes my presentation today. So with that, I'd like to entertain any questions.
I had a quick one. I missed it when you turned the slide. What was the number of days on construction on this?
It's an 18-month construction period.
Okay. So 500-ish something?
540 okay. is the right. size.
Perfect.
Sorry.
Any other questions,
would I do that?
Director Slauson?
Sure. I'll make up a question. is there a way during the detours that we could get some out-of-state utility sign saying PG&E, construction project, sorry for the inconvenience?
I'll work on that, yes.
That's not out-of-state, but maybe something you could think of.
Something unique?
Blame somebody else. No, I'm sure it'll go fine. You told me you were working with the city.
Yeah, we're working very closely with the city, and we'll have plenty of signage out there, including the lighted message boards.
Right. I have no questions.
You have Director Record, any questions on this item?
No, I'll move the item if it hasn't been moved already.
Moved by Director Record, Seconded by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Finally, item F, which is to approve and authorize an amendment to the Terra Verde Energy project for $57,000 for Phase 3 Solar Renewable Energy Initiative and additional appropriation in the amount of $57,000.
Okay, thank you once again. I'm happy to present our Phase 3 solar program. And this has been a very successful program due to all the district staff. And I'd like to highlight and recognize two individuals on the team that have been key to advancing this Phase 3 project in particular. And those two individuals are our own energy project manager, Sam Robinson, as well as the Terra Verde project manager, Jennifer Pathurek. But this project is really part of our strategic plan goals to bring forward energy independence and net energy independence. We hope to achieve that very soon. And it'll also help reduce our carbon footprint. The objective of the project is to add new facilities or expansion facilities under two programs with Edison. That is the Net Energy Metering Program, or by short called NEM 2.0, or the Renewable Energy Self-Generation Bill Credit Transfer Program, and for short called RESBCT, or this is known as the Aretha Franklin Tariff. And under that program, we're able to wheel or transfer credits up to 100 accounts across the district. As far as our renewable energy portfolio, it includes fuel cells and solar facilities, and as of 2017, we had about 7 megawatts installed for a total of 24.3 million kilowatt hours. And that takes us to about 22% net energy independent. The Phase 3 solar project added another approximately 60 megawatts of solar for 34 million more kilowatt hours. And total will have about 23 megawatts of installation, which would yield about 58 million kilowatt hours relative to our last year's purchases of 110 million kilowatt hours. We're now currently sitting at 53% net energy independent. By way of background, we started the program back in 2016 where we did a feasibility evaluation. And in that evaluation, we identified essentially five projects, four expansion projects, and one new site, new facility. That's the Resbeck facility at adjacent to San Jacinto. And after going through an economic evaluation, we found that the power purchase agreement or PPA process was more favorable, and it helped us diversify our portfolio as well than a cash purchase program similar to the Phase 1 and 2 facilities. And with that, we did a pro forma, which yielded a portfolio of 14.3 megawatts of facilities and $25 million in savings over the life of a PPA. And from that point, we decided to go out and test the market. We issued an RFP in 2018, and we received 10 vendor proposals from almost all the largest solar vendors across the nation. We shortlisted vendors, went through a process, and were able to complete the process and conclude with a PPA provider known as REC Solar. They are now going by the name of Duke Energy, which is a subsidiary, is really the backer of REC Solar, but both entities still exist. They were the highest ranked and best overall value to the district. Concurrent with that, we put together a civil site improvements package, really the package to construct the elevated pads and do all the earthwork. We put that civil package out, and Sukit Construction was hired to complete that work, and they had a low bid of about $7.4 million relative to the engineer's estimate. We had a lot of value at the start of the project. And then at that time, we went back to the pro formas and looked at the overall portfolio. The sizing increased from 14.3 to 15.9, and overall savings increased dramatically to 40.6 over the life of the PPA. So that was very good news, and so we advanced the project. And now that we have as-built conditions, I've overlaid the prior pro forma with the current as-built pro forma, and as you can see, for the first three projects, the PPA price went down slightly. The size of the systems went down slightly as well. The final size is 15.8 megawatts across the entire project, but the savings went up dramatically, so I'm excited to announce that we're at $63.7 million in anticipated savings for the 25-year life of the PPA. As I mentioned, the increase in that savings was due to the PPA rate adjustment coming down lower. The Edison rates are now higher. We also had an increased value of the renewable energy certificates, which we would have added revenue if we decide to sell those credits. If we decide not to sell, the program will still be very lucrative. As far as the PPA structure, again, it was a negotiated PPA with fixed pricing subject to minor adjustments in basically final costs. Again, it was a 25-year term. And we were able to roll in our initial capital costs up to $10.1 million. And to date, we've received $9.9 million in reimbursement from the PPA provider. We still have $200,000 to go to complete the project once we have all of these facilities online. The PPA structure also had buyout options as well as similar performance guarantees, operation and maintenance agreements to maintain the facilities. The PPA provider will essentially own and operate the facility for the life of the PPA. Again, the project sites are at each of our reclamation plants, and we have two at San Jacinto, one in the plant proper and one on the north side of the plant where we secured 100 acres in the recent past. So I'd like to just highlight how those facilities laid out. I have current aerials that describe each of the facilities. Here's Moreno Valley. We were able to situate about 3 megawatts on about 10.5 acres at this site, and it's basically situated on either side of our Phase 2 solar array. The Paris Valley plant, we were able to extend out into the Farmer's Field and carve out 21 acres to situate about a 4-megawatt expansion next to the Phase 2 solar facility. We're also able to deepen ponds and expand into use to obtain the material for the construction of the pads for this site. At Sun City, we reshaped the ponds and were able to carve out 9 acres on the site to put together 1.8 megawatts of additional power adjacent to the existing Phase 2 solar site that you can see there, which run along Honey Run Road in Menifee. And then at San Jacinto, adjacent to the wetlands, you can see our Phase 3 solar plant highlighted in red there. We're able to situate 1.5 megawatts on approximately 10 acres. And just north, on the 100-acre parcel that we secured, we were able to carve out 30 acres to put a 5.5, basically new green site, a RESBCT facility here. This one is a little more complicated than the other sites because we have on-site and off-site facilities. Illustrated in green are the on-site utility line that takes us to switchgear basically at our border, and then we have an off-site utility line that crosses the Metropolitan Canal and a utility line that would need to run across private property through private easements to tie in at Cottonwood. So the project did not come without complexities, challenges, and delays on the NIM projects. Once we got started with the grading efforts, we had some challenges with extended wet weather, changed site conditions. As far as the PPA designer, there were some delays in design work that occurred due to the fact the designer was a bit risk adverse and they just waited to complete each task. And so that essentially evolved into a ripple effect on the schedule. Although we were able to quickly complete the design and get all the facilities constructed, but the interconnection process, again, was a long, lengthy process through Edison. It was challenging. Edison's process is typically difficult to navigate. On the RESBCT site, again, there were delays in the Edison process, which had a ripple effect. Also, the process for Metropolitan for the easement was a little bit longer than expected. However, that's largely complete at this point. But we still are working on the off-site private property easements. With that, and due to the challenges and delays, we'll need to continue services with Terra Verde Energy for continued technical services during construction so that we can complete the project. So we reached out to Terra Verde for a scope and fee. We were able to negotiate that to complete this work by end of year, early next. So by way of schedule, we achieved conditional PTO for the NIM sites and PTO being a permit to operate in late July. We anticipated having them online by today, but once we've gone through functional testing, there have been some challenging issues with the communications, so we look to have them online within a week or two. As far as the RESBEC site, all on-site facilities are complete, and we're continuing to work on the off-site Edison work and easements. So although we were anticipating to be online in November, it's looking like December or early January before that facility comes online. So with that, our recommendation today is to approve and authorize a contract amendment with Terra Verde Energy in the amount of approximately $58,000 and the additional appropriation of the same. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
President Paul, if I could add, I just want to express my appreciation to Greg and the whole team. This has been just an incredible initiative, and as Greg mentioned, essentially through a power purchase agreement arrangement, we are not providing upfront capital, and we're going to realize significant savings over a 25-year period. As many of us saw recently in the press enterprise, Edison is increasing the rates significantly over the next many years. It's through these kind of programs that we're able to shield partly our customers from passing on those increases, and we're able to maintain relatively lower rates. So just want to express the appreciation to the whole team. This has been just an incredible initiative, and we're really excited that it's coming to completion. Thank you.
No, I'll add in, I was actually in a future board item and wanted to get an update on our solar program, and you snuck it in as an agenda item, so I appreciate that very much. But no, I'm very proud of the work we've done. It's amazing, the cost savings, and I would at some point hope, and maybe with April's help, I'd love to tell our ratepayers about what we do. I don't think we promote enough what our solar program is, and that we are participating in renewable energy in a big way, because we do possess all this land that you really can't do much with, and solar energy makes a lot of sense there. So I hope in the future we can tell our ratepayers and others about the great work we do. But congratulations on a fantastic program in managing this and really getting us to this point at Eastern. So,
President Pauly, I just want to make an observation. I think this is a great step forward. If someday when we have reliable and affordable batteries, this will really bring us a degree of reliability that will be really a good thing to have. So I join the general manager and compliments the staff, and great project. I'll move approval.
We have have a motion by Director Record. Do I have a second?
Second.
Director Armstrong, second. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Great job. We have no informational items on the agenda today. I will look for a motion and a second on our receive and file items of various committee reports.
The motion.
Moved by Director second. Armstrong, second by Director Corona. May I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Pauly?
Aye.
Director Corona?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. That will take us to our calendar review. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. I have three events coming up this month that I'd like to share with you. The first event, Director Armstrong mentioned at the last board meeting, it's the CalDESAL Pathways to Piloting virtual program. That event will be held on September 9th, which is a Thursday, from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., and it will feature speakers from the Bureau of Water Reclamation and the Department of Water Resources, along with EMWD's own Sean Stone, Director of Engineering, if anyone would like to participate in that program.
Where was that at?
It's a virtual program.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And on September 15th, which is a Wednesday at 5 p.m., the City of Moreno Valley and the Moreno Valley Hispanic Chamber of Commerce together will be hosting the 2021 El Grito event celebrating Hispanic heritage. It will be held at the Moreno Valley Civic Center Amphitheater. The district is a sponsor for this event, so there will be seats available.
I'll go.
Thank you, Director Slauson. And on Thursday, September 30th, the Municipal Water District of Orange County will be holding a water policy forum and dinner, and it will be featuring MWD's new general manager, Adele Hajj-Khalil, and that will be held at the Westin South Coast Plaza at 5:30 p.m., and there's a flyer on page 8 if you'd like to take a look. The district is a sponsor for this event as well, so there will be seats available.
I'll put me down for that.
Thank you, President Pauly. Moving to page 2 of the calendar review, we have the board's upcoming events and meetings for the next 2 weeks. And on page 3, we have some upcoming conferences and special events. For the Building Industry Association's Building Industry Show on September 29th, they've just announced that their keynote speaker will be Magic Johnson, former L.A. Laker. And again, as a sponsor, the district does have some seats available. His keynote address will take place on September 30th at 10 a.m. if anyone is interested. On page 3 and 4, we have the board's upcoming meetings and committee meetings, and they are all on schedule. On page 4, I'd just like to point out that for the November committee meetings, we have two holidays that we've adjusted meeting dates for. The first is the November Planning Committee. We are proposing Tuesday, November 9th for that meeting, as Thursday is the holiday, is Veterans Day. Thanks, Director Corona. And for the Operations and Engineering Committee, the regularly scheduled meeting would fall on Thanksgiving, so we've proposed moving it to Tuesday, November 23rd at the same time, 3:30 p.m. The interagency meetings and out-of-office schedule are listed. Are there any questions or additions to the calendar? Hearing none, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. We will now go to directors' attendance reports, so we'll start with Director Armstrong.
Okay. Had a good update with the general manager, and appreciate the in-depth information that he shares with us, so appreciated that. Had a couple meetings that were related to the AQUA Finance Committee and essentially reviewed financial statements, investment performance, investment policies, and also we made a decision on our education sessions at the AQUA next AQUA conference. And so I'm glad that one of the sessions is going to be on funding pension liabilities and looking at alternative ways to do that, including the Section 115 trust, which what we're looking at here at Eastern. And so Eastern will be participating on that panel, be able to share, what we've learned here and what we're trying to do here. So I think that's always a good opportunity to share with the rest of the industry what we're doing. So that's good. Had a meeting with the mayor of Paris, and I think the key thing in that meeting related to the water and sewer service in the city of Paris, which we received a letter from the city wanting us to take a look and work together whether or not Eastern could take over that responsibility. And I think the mayor just kind of emphasized that they have a desire to see that happen and look forward to working together at how that could potentially be accomplished. I think that they acknowledge Eastern's capabilities compared to their focus, and they would rather put their focus and attention to things other than water and sewer. So see what happens there. Attended the economic forecast, and their keynote speaker was Chris Thornburg, the economist from UCR. So that was very entertaining and also very informative. And I think for me, one of the key things I took away from that, from what he said, was in relation to the housing market and his professional opinion. He doesn't see the current housing market as a bubble. He thinks that the individuals that are buying homes today are people that can afford these homes, as opposed to what we saw in the past where people were over-leveraging and getting in over their head. So doesn't think that's a bubble, but more concerned about the investment market and the stimulus, the federal stimulus that's coming in and the impacts of that. Also, the city managers from 5 cities, from Temecula, Marietta, Lake Elsinore, Menifee, and Wildomar all spoke and talked about what's going on in their cities, and just looks really good. A lot of activity and a lot of positive, down here in Southwest Riverside County. And then, the last meeting was Cherry Hills Golf Course site visit. That was yesterday. I think it was yesterday, right? Yesterday. And so the golf course is just kind of struggling there, and it's a real asset to the community, the city. They all want to see that golf course survive and thrive. And so they're looking for ways to be more efficient, including, what they can do with the golf course with water and their system. And so our staff came and presented some options and some programs and some initiatives that they could look into, and thought it was pretty well received. And I know it's going to take some additional effort from our staff to kind of help walk them through it, but that really does look like there are some opportunities for them to make some improvements and realize some savings. So appreciated, you know, the staff's effort on that.
Thank you so much. We'll go to Director Corona.
Okay. Yeah, the Rancho California Water District board meeting, they're back in the boardroom, so I attended at the boardroom. I was the only one in the audience, but that was good. Our monthly meeting with General Manager was also good. Jeff covered the Southwest Regional Economic Forecast. The Murrieta Focused Municipal Service Review, that was a good meeting for all the districts, I think, that were involved in it. And so we'll see what happens with that. There was a little bit of a disturbance at the meeting that I myself and Brenda Dedsett had to intervene in, but it was unfortunate, but it all turned out. So that's all I have.
Very good. I attended the Moreno Valley State of the City, as Director Slauson indicated. And again, when we do major projects through these cities, I think it's always good that we spend the time and the effort to participate when they have things. It's good networking, and I was appreciated to be there as president. As we talked about the Murrieta Focus Municipal Service Review, I think everyone, it was a good evening, loved the public comment, public participation. And when the final report gets back, we'll look at how we want to proceed with that. We'll probably want to put something on an open agenda to have a discussion on where we want to, where Eastern's participation may be on that. Riverside County Task Force Speaker Series, I attended virtually. Assemblyman Kelly Soronto gave an update on Sacramento, focusing a lot on both on water and then the fire situation in the state. That was it for me. Director Record?
Yes, President Pauley, the MWD Standing Committee and Board meetings, you have an update from Jolene that's very thorough. I would just highlight that August is the month that we get information from all the counties in the service area about assessed valuations, and Eastern was tied for the increase at 6.2%, the highest increase along with Inland Empire Utilities Agency. So that increases our vote. Very, very small increase, but it's an indication that our area is certainly growing. Delta Conveyance Finance Authority board meeting, it's just we're not really doing much, waiting for the project to clear environmental and see where we're at, but taking care of housekeeping items and meeting quarterly. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Record. Director Slauson.
Yes, I attended the Moreno Valley State of the City. The mayor and council members were there, one remotely. Jeff Hewitt was present, and a number of surrounding area council members representing their cities as well. Attended the our joint authority policy committee with SOPA and Orange County Sanitation, discussed the brine line and the water treatment and other common interests we have in common. Attended the Hemet-San Jacinto wastewater meeting, contracted with an auditor, reviewed the budget, and Brian Lowe from Eastern gave a presentation on the cathodic project. And attended the Water Task Force, and yes, the assembly member was there, gave a good presentation. With his firefighting experience, I hope the other assembly members listen to what he has to say. Good presentation by Dan Jaggers with Beaumont Cherry Valley, discussing flood damage and electric outages. And then they had a substitute speaker from Edison and discussed the PSPS, the shutoffs, planned shutoffs.
Very good. Thank you. We'll bring us to director's comments, future agenda items. Does anybody have a comment or suggestion for your future agenda? Director Record, any?
Nothing. Thank you, President Pauley.
Very good. I understand we have no need for closed session, and that will bring us to the adjournment of our meeting. We will stand adjourned until September 15th, 2001 at 9 a.m. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.